Exodus chapter number 15, once again, please. Exodus chapter number 15, as we again look at the Song of Moses. And let's just quickly do some reviewing from last week, what we covered a little bit there, and should try to finish up the chapter today. We opened with just recognizing that we must praise the Lord for what He has done and not forget Him when things get rough. It's easy to praise Him when things are going well, but not to forget Him when things are not going so well. We'll see that before the end of the chapter. Then we talked about the content of this song itself. We looked at God's character, as Moses had an incredible relationship with God, knowing how to praise Him. He talked about Him triumph gloriously. The Lord is my strength. He's my song. He's my salvation. He's my God. The Lord is His name. He's great in excellency. He's wrath, which is one of His characteristics. He's glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. And then we talked about God's conquest. He was a man of war as He fought for Israel, and in this case opened the sea and killed the Egyptians that tried to pronounce in on Him. We talked about the consequences. What did the nations around think about it? And of course, there was a widespread panic, a fear about what Israel's God was going to do to them. And then we looked at the comparison of the song, how it's used in other parts of Scripture, in Hosea and Micah and Revelation. Even in eternity, we're going to be singing the Song of Moses. And then the completion of the promise. Moses saw them already in the land. God, it's a done deal. That God is going to do. So let's look at then number two, the celebration of the sister. The celebration of the sister, because we pick up in this chapter in verse 20. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20. The Bible says, "And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Now, there's some difference of opinions here. Some believe that Miriam did this when Moses was singing his song. Some believe that it was a separate occasion. Doesn't really matter a whole lot for the application. Someone has said, joy is the spontaneous overflowing of a heart which is occupied with the person and work of the Lord. I say that again, that's a powerful statement. Joy is the spontaneous overflowing of a heart which is occupied with the person and work of the Lord. It's a natural outflow when we have a real relationship with God, and that's exactly what was being displayed here for us. She is the first woman in the Bible, by the way, to be called a prophetess. Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron. She played a significant role of some type in Israel's, even in Israel's leadership, if you want to use that term. She was constantly there in various aspects. Micah chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "For I brought thee out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." God lists her as with Moses and Aaron. And so she has a spontaneous joy for what God has done. And it's interesting, again, that she references God has thrown the rider into the sea. And if you look at the Hebrew poetry, you can see how that was a significant part of the verses of the song, if you will, how they worked through that. And the question for us is, are you joyful in what God has done for you? Are you joyful in what God has done for you? You say, well, I hadn't done a whole lot for me. You know, when we stop for a moment and just think about what He has done for us, it doesn't really matter necessarily for us now whether Jesus died on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. I think it's impossible that He died on Friday, but we won't get into all that right now. But it really doesn't matter. The fact is, this week we celebrate the fact that He went to the cross for us. And if Jesus only went to the cross for us and redeemed us from our sin and rose again, if that's all He did for us, it's worthwhile for us to be joyful people. That alone. But John tells us that he's not only brought us life, but he's brought it more abundantly. And then we're going to get all eternity too. There's plenty of reasons for us to be joyful, for sure. But number three, in this chapter, we see then the complications of sure. This is an important principle that you already know, but it's demonstrated for us so clearly in this passage of Scripture. Many times, after great victory comes defeat. After great victory, the enemy just jumps on you. Things begin to go crazy. Matter of fact, I heard one guy describe it this way. I've never forgotten it, and it's a great illustration. It's a word picture for us. He said, it's like you're in your prayer closet, and you and God just have a precious, wonderful time. And it's like, man, you're on top of the world, and God heard your prayers. And, I mean, it's just like, man, this is fantastic. You open the door out of your prayer closet, and Satan's standing there with a baseball bat and clubs you right in the face. You ever felt that way? I mean, it's like, man, alive. It's like, what happened? Well, this is exactly what takes place for them, okay? Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Wow. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. The people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he, notice this, proved them. There he proved them. Now, I want you to think a little bit as we started this aspect a couple of weeks ago. It's probably been a lot of weeks ago now, maybe 4 weeks ago. The description of what it would have taken the millions of gallons of water to satisfy the thirst of this kind of crowd of people. They certainly could not have carried that much water. Even if they filled up canteens and, you know, camel bags or whatever, you know. 3 days is a long time to go with this many, 2 to 3 million people and without water. And when they finally see some, can't drink it at all. The complications. This is also, by the way, called the wilderness of Etham. Numbers chapter 33 and verse 8 describes it that way. Again, one author says, interesting enough, just as sin and its bitter consequences was birthed on a tree, Genesis chapter 3, so sin and its bitter consequences died on a tree. Isn't it interesting that God uses a tree to throw into the water to cure the bitterness that was there? God doesn't waste things in the Word of God. What a precious picture that is for us. But I think it's important as we think through this process that we realize that there are times when God will specifically do things to prove us, to try us. I've talk to parents, and I've had parents say things like, you know, the easiest way to deal with your children is don't put any temptations in front of them, because that's kind of cruel to do, to put a temptation and then have them have to say no to it. Can I tell you that God does that? I'm not talking about temptation to sin, okay? But God sometimes puts us in a position to see how we will respond to it. He said this right there. There he proved them. How are you going to respond? When things are great, it's easy to praise me. But what about when you don't have water? What about when the water you find is bitter? What about when things aren't going the way you thought they should go? What now? Can you praise him then too? Can you praise him when you get the raise at your job? And can you praise him when you get laid off? Can you praise him when you get the good report? Can you praise him when you don't get the good report? That's really the issue. And that, again, much easier to talk about than to live, isn't it? You don't know if it is or not. It is. You're like, I don't know if I want to admit that because maybe I'll be proved, right? But it's true. So Israel has now come through an incredible victory. Arguably, as we've already laid the foundation, a victory that was one of the greatest in the Old Testament that God continuously referred back to. We're only 3 days removed from that, and they're griping about water. Now, if God could split water and cause it to stand on its end and take you through it, don't you think he could handle providing water? Sunday morning, I'm preaching on the resurrection. I'm brilliant that way, right? I'm not actually preaching on Jesus, though they're connected. I want to talk about the three resurrections that the disciples observe before Jesus ever rises from the dead. But it's interesting. I love the story of Lazarus. And particularly this part of the story to me is so hilarious. Because Lazarus comes back from the dead, and he's a pretty powerful testimony of who Jesus is and what he's able to do. And so the Pharisees have this little meeting, and they determine, what are we going to do? Because Jews are turning to God because of this guy. I think we're going to kill him. Really? That is so hilarious to me. Like, so you're going to kill the guy that God can raise from the dead? I mean, was not a problem the first time. Like, it's going to be a problem the second time, right? But, you know, we do stuff like that. We have this miracle right here, and we forget about it 2 days later. Well, God did that there, but I don't know. He can't handle this problem here. I know he split the Red Sea, and we got out, and he drowned the Egyptians and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's old news. That's been at least 3 days ago. And we forget what God did. I forget. I can imagine the Lord going, really? I've got all this under control. I didn't bring you through all of this. If I wanted you to die, I could have let the Egyptians take care of it. You're not going to die of thirst. You're not going to hunger to death out here. I've got all this planned. I just don't have to necessarily tell you all about it. And that's what we really want, don't we? But we can't handle all that. Really important for us to understand. God intently, with purpose, places difficulties in our path to allow us to trust him during those difficult times. What bitter thing have you allowed God to make sweet? What bitter thing have you allowed God to make sweet? Can I tell you, everybody in this room has had bitter experiences. Everybody. Things that you would not have chosen it that way. We could go around the room. But how have you allowed God to make that situation sweet? Well, there's no sweetness in it, then you're not allowing God to make it sweet. Because he's got a reason for it. He's got all that planned out for you. Are you passing the test? You passing the test in that area? Just like in school, if you fail a test, typically you have to go back and reclass. If you fail that class, you're going to have to go back and retake it. That's what's going to happen. And many times God says, okay, you didn't get that this time. How about we try this again? Can we do it again? And by the way, don't want you to think, as we move through the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, how many times do they keep running into lack of water? It happens over and over again, doesn't it? And they complain over and over again, and it's like God's like, you're not getting this. You hadn't passed this test yet. We're going to be faced with the same thing. Okay, can you do this now? It's important for us. And then verse 26, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, as God's working through this complication is of sure, he says, here, let me tell you what my covenant is. My covenant is, if you will obey me, you don't have to face all these horrible things that I did to the Egyptians. I brought upon the Egyptians. Now, the flip side of that makes you think what? It's okay to talk to me tonight. What does the flip side of that make you think? You can talk, it's okay. Isn't that what he's saying here? If you don't obey, guess what's going to happen? You're going to face some of these things. So God says it's pretty simple. I've got everything under control. I know exactly what I'm doing, and if you'll hearken unto me, then this won't happen to you. But if not, and by the way, Moses clearly lays it out later in the book of Deuteronomy. Blessing or cursing, life or death, make a choice. It's really a pretty easy choice, but it's your choice you get to make. Joshua does the same thing, doesn't he? Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Are you going to serve the gods that are here that obviously do nothing, or are you going to serve me? Which one's it going to be? Pretty simple stuff. But then verse 27, I love how the Lord does this. And then they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. I love this. I call this the comfort of supplies. How delightful this must have been. You know, they call it an oasis for a reason, right? Days of not great water and in the desert, and all of a sudden they come upon this place, and it's got abundance of water, and it's got these 70 palm trees, and it must have been just a gorgeous place out in the middle of this desert. No, matter of fact, one person said this must have been a most delightful encampment from its shade and other things, as well as from its abundant supply of sweet water for the thirsty multitude. God provided that oasis in the middle of this desert. Aren't you thankful that in the midst of desert experience, God gives you those oases? Those tokens for good that right in the middle of it. We have to be careful that sometimes we don't even see those. We have to be careful that we don't take the Israelite mentality of complaining about everything. Well, there's only 70 trees? Are you kidding? There's a couple million people here. Who's going to get the trees? If we're not careful, that's our attitude, isn't it? When God has been so abundantly good to us. What refreshes your soul? What just refreshes you? There's a lot that we could say about that, but it's easy to praise the Lord in victory and forget Him in difficulty. May we praise Him in the good times and the bad. And I think that's what this chapter is telling us. And they've got a lot more learning to do as God takes them on this journey, as He continues to test them and try them and see what's going on. So let's make some application tonight, specifically. So we got two messages over the last 2 weeks. Let's make some specific applications here tonight. What are some ways to learn and praise the characteristics of God? Okay, so what are some ways to learn and then to praise the characteristics of God? Yes, Elizabeth. Okay, study His Word. Great. Dale? Okay, don't move until you know what He have you to do. All right, what else? Yes, okay, obey what you know you ought to do. All right, Rebecca? Okay, spend time with Him. What are some specific areas? Brother Lewis, did you have? Okay, through trials sometimes. We learn about God, absolutely. By the way, I can say this because it's fixing to be published, but I've read a multi-page, I'm going to guess it's probably two pages, of a diary entries from Matt Northcutt and what God's taught him through this fire. It is an unbelievable testimony. And he's going to publish it. I know that because he sent it to me and said, Pastor, I'm going to get ready to publish this. I want to see. It is amazing. And Matt says in that diary testimony, he says, I have learned God like there's no other way I could have learned Him without the fire. It's impossible. I would not have known Him this way. What are some specific books of the Bible? Now, all the books talk about God, but there's some specific books specifically that really concentrate on who God is and His characteristics. What are some of those? Brother Steve? Book of Psalms. Book of Psalms is a fantastic place to go. They are loaded with that stuff. Lazarus? What's that? Okay, Job. There's some things there that we learn about God. John? Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah. Is some of those. So those are some specific target areas. There's others, by the way, that we can go to and say, okay, if I want to learn about my God, let me go to these passages of Scripture and really learn it. What's some others? Daniel. Okay, good. Revelation. We learn characteristics of God. Yes, ma'am. That's right. Exodus is a great place to go. Chapter 15 is a really good place to go, you know. But yeah, what's interesting is, for the most part, Israel did not know God. And so God is teaching them about himself and all that through that. And so even understanding that is really, really wonderful, wonderful things. Okay, so that's how we can learn. Now, what are some specific ways that we can praise his characteristics? Some specific ways. Okay, Sarah? Okay, so here's what God taught me, his characteristics about this particular aspect. Okay, good. What else? A song. A song. Just recently reading some locations where they talk about specifically singing to the Lord. Wonderful characteristics. Good. Brother Kevin, I see your hand up. Right. Yep. Great. Good things. Should we, Brother Eric? Okay. Yeah, amen. Think you ought to share some of these things with your children? God specifically told the children of Israel on multiple occasions to get a pile of rocks and put it here. What was the purpose of the rocks? It was a memorial specifically for who? The children. When your children ask, why is this here? You tell them about the goodness of God and what he did for you and so forth. One of the things that I did years ago and then got away from it and have been trying to get back to is I try to open my prayer time with just thanking the Lord for some things. Thank you, not only thanking him, but praising him. Lord, thank you for these things, but also praise you that you're this. This morning, I concentrate a little bit on the cross. We're right at that time. It's incredible what our Lord did there. Dale? Okay. Amen. Good. Excellent. Okay. Why is it difficult to allow God to fight our battles? What's that? Okay. That's a great one, Tim. We think he's too slow. Rebecca? Okay. We like to be in control. Okay. What else? Sarah? Okay. We can't see what he's doing. Connie? Okay, we can't see what's going to happen. Yeah. Brother Jim? Submission. Okay, submission. Good. Kevin? That's right. That's good. That's good. So all those things play into, we basically are taking our hands off of it. And the truth is, most of us in this room don't like to take our hands off of it. I can prove that to you for all of you who've had teenagers in your house and you taught them to drive. All of us got really nervous, right? That's when you wished you had a brake pedal on your side. The floorboard kept being stomped, but there was nothing happening, right? Anybody who's taught someone to drive, you know what I'm talking about. Part of the deal with that is you had to let go, right? You relinquish control, and it's like, if they are in a ditch, there's nothing I can do about it. The truth is, we want to control God, too. We're like, well, I'd give that to you, God, but I'm not sure you're going to do a great job of that right there. You know, do you remember what it was like when you were a teenager? You were fine, right? You knew what you were doing. You wanted Dad to trust you. Like, yeah. I'm just saying, that's a great illustration for us. Let God have it. All right, good answers. Do you see God's promises as already complete? Now, I want you to think about that, okay? Do you see God's promises as already complete? In other words, can we think of some promises that have physically, literally not yet been complete, but as good as being complete? Did that question confuse you? I hope not. What are some of those promises? I will come again and receive you unto myself. Right? Now, he hasn't come back, right? Not yet. But is it good as done? Let me state that again. It is as good as done. He said he was going to do it. He's going to do it. Okay? Brother Richard? Okay. We may not be able to physically see that, but that's exactly a promise that he's given to us. So, Brother Kevin? That's right. Pastor? Amen. All these are promises that we may not be able to see the day-to-day fulfillment, but God has promised that's going to happen. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? You ever wonder why somebody, that scoundrel, got away with it? I can't believe he did that to those kids or whatever, and he got away with it. He didn't get away with it. It may not all be flushed out, yeah, but he didn't get away with it. God's going to take care of that. And that's a wonderful thing when we just say, okay, that's, again, taking our hands off of it, letting God do it. How can we make bitter things sweet? How can we make bitter things sweet? Brother Jim? Okay, good one. Brother Steve? Okay. Brother Ray? Get rid of the pride. Sarah? That's right. Amen. Regina, did y'all see your hand? Okay. Good. These are all, by the way, conscious acts. We choose to do that rather than concentrating on what's not happening or what we would like to happen and da-da-da. We're choosing to turn that into something that God is going to transform us in. Rebecca? Okay, find someone you can give an encouragement to. Find that person. Yes, Don? Okay, yeah. Bring God's love. How is this really happening? If we go back to what I know about God, God loves me, therefore, this is, what's he working? How is he moving in this process? Someone has said, and I love this, someone has said, God's will for your life is exactly what you would choose if you had all the facts. The fact is, we don't always have all the facts, but it's exactly what we would choose. That's hard for our mind to think, right? It's hard for our mind to think, but I don't think I would have let this precious friend go or this relative go or this. I don't think I would have done it that way, but that's because you don't have all the facts. But if you had them all, you would make that choice. Guess who has them all? Past, present, and future. He's got it all worked out, and that gets back to us. Kim? Okay, so compassion and kindness to those who may be inflicting that bitterness on you, if you will, a bitter treatment. Christina? Okay, so rejoicing in who God is and what he can do rather than what's actually taking place right now. By the way, we're not saying that we always love what we're going through. But we can rejoice in the Lord in the process. Most of us don't wake up in the morning and go, man, I can't wait for something tragic to happen today. You know? But we know that God's going to bring all this together and we can rejoice in him no matter what. Just today was texting with someone who was asking me some questions and they were struggling in an area. And I said, ultimately, this is really about your relationship with God. Forget the person, the human person in the middle. This is really about you and God. And when we remove that, then we can relate right because it's really about what God's doing. And then lastly, and we got to go here, what refreshes our soul? What are some things that specifically, the Word of God refreshes our soul? What else? Kathy? Praise is a refresher. I agree. Josh? Okay. All right. Good. Brother Kevin. Eric, I'm sorry. I'm looking at Kevin. Yeah. What's that? Fellowship. Yes, Brother Kevin. Kevin took yours. Yeah. See, that's why I called him Kevin. Exactly. Yeah. You're missing a really critical one, one I really enjoy. Yes. Songs. Absolutely. What else? Time alone with God. These are all good. Emily? Okay. Praying to God. Giving. Good. Kim? Yeah. So serving can be refreshing. Sure. You're missing one. Really important one. Miss Judy? Sharing the good news. I like that one. Yep. That's not the one I was thinking of. You're not leaving until I get it out of you. Mrs. Rhett? Okay. Expressing thanks. Wonderful one. How about being in God's house? You're like, we're not refreshed by that, Pastor. I'm sorry. Isn't it refreshing to be around God's people and refreshing in here? I mean, it's, boy, you come and it's like, oh, man, I just needed that. It's like a breath of fresh air even. You know, that's a refreshing thing for us. All these things, by the way, come together when we do that, and it makes a huge difference. I've known people who have cut themselves off from the local church, and they're missing the fellowship and the service and the Word of God and all of these things that are part of that refreshing, the rejuvenating that we need as people. And really, really good stuff. Wonderful chapter. It's a chapter I think you ought to just go to periodically and say, okay, God, what can I learn more about you in the process? So, good deal. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Hope it'll be a great day in the house of the Lord, a refreshing day. Don't forget about the track challenge. I hope you're doing it. It's been a lot of fun to see God and hear stories. And I love the stories, by the way. If you have stories, come tell me. I've been greatly encouraged by listening to your stories. Lord bless you.